بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We started a series of lectures talking about Prophet Isa alayhi salam, his early life and his life when he received the revelation, and when he was raised to the sky, and then when he is going to descend to earth. So we'll talk about all these stages of the life of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. We talked last week about the birth of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. We mentioned that Prophet Isa alayhi salam is a slave of Allah, a slave amongst the slaves of Allah. And that was the first word Prophet Isa alayhi salam uttered when he was still in the cradle, when his mother brought him to her people and they asked her and they accused her of fornication. But she did not reply, as she made a vow to fast from talking. When they kept on accusing her of fornication, using harsh and ugly words, she pointed to her son, referred them to her son to talk to him. And he was 40 days of age at that time. They thought she was mocking them. And they said, as what was mentioned in the Quran, how could we talk to someone who is still in the cradle, a baby? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Prophet Isa alayhi salam at this age, at the age of 40 days, talk. And the first thing he said, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا. He said these words, then he stopped talking, as we mentioned, until he reached the age where children would normally talk. So the first thing he said, I am the slave of Allah. Allah will make me a prophet and will reveal a book to me, and that is Al-Injil. And Allah made me beneficial, a blessing, wherever I go. He is full of blessings, as all the prophets. So wherever he goes, he teaches, he blesses people. And Allah gave him miracles, like curing those who were sick, blind, inflicted with hopeless diseases and the like. So Allah supported him with miracles, that he was able, by the will of Allah, by the power of Allah, he was able to cure them. In the book that Allah will reveal to him, as he was mentioning, there is a great attention to praise and zakah. Praise and zakah. And Allah made him kind to his mother. Made him kind to his mother. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي. Kind to his mother. The one who is bar بِوَالِدَيْهِ is the one who obeys them in nearly everything. Not in sinful matters, definitely. But all the permissible matters, whatever is permissible. So as long as your parents are not ordering you to do something that is haram, you should obey them. You should obey them. Even in things that you don't feel like doing them, because they will be happy if you do them, do it to make them happy. That is the one who is al-bar, highly kind to his parents. Prophet Isa alayhi salam was highly kind to his mother. Allah did not make him a tyrant and unjust person. Then he said that peace accompanied me and comfort when I was born and the day when I will die, because he hasn't died yet, and the day when I'll be resurrected. That is on the day of judgment. So Prophet Isa alayhi salam is a slave amongst the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was created from a mother. His mother Maryam alayha salam gave birth to him without a father. And that is not impossible for God subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah created Adam without a father, without a mother. The first animal created was created without a father and without a mother. It's not a rule that the one who is born without a father, that he becomes the son of God, no. Adam was created without a father and without a mother. So if you were to compare how Adam was created and how Isa alayhi salam was created, what looks more marvelous to people is the way Adam was created, because without a father, without a mother. But Isa alayhi salam was conceived within Mary, his mother, without a father. And that is not impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the creator of this whole universe. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ مَشْهَدِ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. People divided into groups and they had dispute regarding Prophet Isa alayhi salam. People at his time and people who came after. A group of non-believers said about Prophet Isa wal-ayyazu billah that he is an illegitimate son, accusing his mother of fornication, wal-ayyazu billah. And they insisted on blasphemy up to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, and they even continued. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ. So by the blasphemy, وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ. وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. And the fabrication, ugly fabrications about Maryam alayha salam. That's when they accused her of being a fornicator, وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ. On the other hand, another group of blasphemers said that Jesus is God. Others said Jesus is Son of God, and others believed in Trinity. They believed that God, Jesus, and angel Jibril, Gabriel in English, three united in one, and they formed one God as they claimed. However, the believers knew the fact about Prophet Isa alayhi salam. They said he is the slave of Allah, he is the messenger of Allah, he is the son of Maryam alayhi salam, and he is the good tidings given to Maryam by the angels, because the angel approached Maryam and gave her the good tiding that she will be pregnant with someone that will be blessed, someone that is pure, elite. So this good tiding given by the angel to Maryam alayha salam, that's the meaning of وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَىٰ مَرْيَمْ. So when we say Isa alayhi salam is kalimatullah ila Maryam, so literally it means the word of God to Mary. But what is meant by it, the good tidings given to Mary by the angel that she will carry this righteous and elite son. وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ, an honored soul from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know all the souls are created by Allah azza wa jal. All the souls are creations of God. But not all souls are of the same category. The souls of the prophets are pure and honored souls. The souls of the blasphemers are wicked souls and evil souls. So Allah Ta'ala said about him, وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ. وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ, Isa alayhi salam, his soul is honored by Allah Azza wa Jal. So although all the souls are created by Allah Azza wa Jal, but some souls are honored, and the soul of Isa alayhi salam is one of them. Those believers who believe the proper belief about Prophet Isa alayhi salam are the saved one and are the supported ones. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith, "Man shahida an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu." وَأَنَّ عِيسَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمْ وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ وَالْجَنَّةَ حَقٌّ وَالنَّارَ حَقٌّ أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ. This hadith is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari رضي الله عنه. It means the one who testifies that no one is God except Allah, the one who has no partner, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that Isa is the messenger of Allah, and he is the good tidings given to Mary by the angels, and that his soul is an honored soul by Allah Azza wa Jal, and that paradise is true and hellfire is true, Allah will admit him to paradise on whatever deeds he ended his life with. On whatever deeds he ended his life with. So in this hadith, there is a good tiding for the one who testifies with what we have mentioned, what is mentioned in the hadith. The scholars of Islam interpreted the hadith as to mean, whoever says this specific shahada daily, this specific shahada daily, every day. So every day he says, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله وأن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه وَالْجَنَّةَ حَقْ وَالنَّارَ حَقْ. If you say this every day, regularly, the scholar said, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person will be guided to avoid the major sins and will be guided to perform the righteous deeds before death. If you say it every day, inshallah azza wa jal, that will be a help, support for you to be guided to perform the righteous deeds and to avoid the major sins. And that in turn will make you amongst those who will be admitted into paradise without torture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever merciful. Allah azza wa jal opened many gates of goodness for us. Sometimes with something that doesn't take a lot of time from us, but if we do it, we'll be rewarded greatly. So this shahada, it's called a shahada al-khasa, the specific shahada. Try to memorize it, say it every day, and inshallah you'll get this virtue and merit mentioned in the hadith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the soul of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So that's the meaning of waruhum minhu. Waruhum minhu does not mean that the soul of Isa alayhi salam is part of Allah azza wa jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a body. Allah is not an origin for something or an extract from something. Whatever is an origin for something or an extract from something must be a creation. Must be a creation. You beget your children. So your children have an origin and you are the origin for them. Parents are origin for the children. And children came from their parents. This shows that both are creations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that would dwell in something or something that can be extracted from him. Wal'ayyazu billah, no. So the meaning of waruhum minhu, the soul of Isa alayhi salam, is an honored soul by Allah azza wa jal. It doesn't mean that Isa alayhi salam is part of Allah, no. Allah said, lam yalid wa lam yulad. Lam yalid, Allah does not beget. Wa lam yulad, he is not begotten. Allah did not come from a father, and Allah is not a father for something else. So that's the meaning of the verse. Now the proof that the word minhu, waruhum minhu, does not necessarily mean part of, is another verse in Surah Al-Jathiyah. Allah Ta'ala said, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِّنْهُ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِّنْهُ. So here, minhu, it doesn't mean that whatever is in the skies and on earth are part of Allah, no. They are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal assigned the angels in the skies to benefit the believers. How do they benefit the believers? By making supplication for them, by blessing them with blessings. Sometimes angels would descend to earth. They would pass by the righteous slaves and they would bless them with blessings. And they feel the effect of these blessings. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. This is about the night of Al-Qadr. What happens on this night? A great number of angels descend to earth. They pass by every slave who is worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, whether praying or performing other act of worship, and they bless them. They bless these righteous and pious slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the meaning of Isa Ruhullah or Ruhun Minallah? It means a created soul by Allah that has been honored. So a created and honored soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning he is created by Allah and honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the meaning of وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ. So if you hear that term, you know the meaning of it. وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهُ does not mean he is part of God. No, it means his soul is honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what happened around the time of the birth of Isa alayhi salam? When Isa alayhi salam was born, many marvelous and strange things took place as a sign of the magnificence of this born child and what's going to happen to this child in the future, as he will be a prophet and messenger and he will receive a heavenly book and he will call people to worship Allah and to practice this glorious religion. It was mentioned that when Isa alayhi salam was born, the idols turned upside down. The idols that were worshipped by people at that time turned upside down. So head down and legs up. And they went to their idols and they saw them in this way, turned upside down. And they were shocked. The devils got scared. And they didn't know what's the reason behind this. So they went to the leader, Iblis, Satan. Iblis made a tour around earth quickly. Then when he saw a great number of angels surrounding the house of Mary, he knew that it is because of this born child. He tried to go inside, but the angels prevented him from ever being able to reach Prophet Isa alayhi salam. When he reached 8 days, his mother took him to the place where he was circumcised. She called him Isa alayhi salam, as Jibreel told her, because Jibreel told her, call him Isa. So she called him Isa. By the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these marvelous things surrounding the life of Prophet Isa alayhi salam became prevalent amongst people. The king of the time of the Romans at that time, called Herodias, he wanted to kill him because a group of non-believers went to this king. They provoked him to kill Prophet Isa alayhi salam. His mother became worried about him when she knew about their plotting to kill Prophet Isa alayhi salam. He was a baby. So she took him to Egypt. She took him to Egypt, as mentioned in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا بِنَ مَرْيَمَ وَأُمَّهُ آيَةً وَآوَيْنَاهُمَا إِلَى رَبْوَةٍ ذَاتِ قَرَارٍ وَمَعِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah that he made Prophet Isa alayhi salam and his mother a sign for people, a proof about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them by allowing them to go to this place in Egypt, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated for them a spring of water where they can drink from it. He stayed in that place until he completed 12 years. And Our Lady Maryam alayha salam sent him to the school known at that time, we call it Al-Kuttab. So where they used to send the children to learn. So she sent him to this place, like a school, and he learned the Syriac language. That was the language spoken at that time. And later on, when he became a prophet, Allah revealed the Injil to him in the Syriac language. Syriac is not the Assyrian language, two different languages. Syriac in Arabic, As-Suryani. That was an old language. It's a very old language. Then after the death of this tyrant king, Herodes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Prophet Isa alayhi salam to go back to Jerusalem in Palestine. He came to Palestine, and it was mentioned that he met the cousin of his mother, Joseph, the carpenter, the one that we explained about last week. Joseph, the carpenter, the cousin of Lady Maryam, and that he offered them a donkey that they rode to reach their destination, Jerusalem. And that shows that Isa alayhi salam is a human being. So he rode a donkey, he used to eat, he used to drink. So he was a human being, but he became a prophet and messenger. Then they went to a city in Palestine called An-Nasirah, Nazareth, they call it in English. That's why they call Isa alayhi salam, they call him the Messiah of Nazareth. Nazareth is An-Nasirah. And his followers who supported him were called An-Nasara at that time. An-Nasara meaning either because they belonged to An-Nasirah, city of An-Nasirah, or because they supported him. And those were believers in Prophet Isa alayhi salam as a prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reason why they were called Nasara at that time, either because they were from An-Nasirah, this place, Nazareth, they call it in English, or because they supported Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and because of this support they were called An-Nasara. When he reached the age of 30, he became a prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed prophethood to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And Allah ordered him to go and spread Islam to people, to tell them to worship Allah azza wa jal and not to associate any partner with him. Many believed in him and many did not. And his message to his people was to worship Allah and not to associate partners with him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. When Isa alayhi salam, the Messiah, Al-Masih, we're going to mention why he was called the Messiah, Al-Masih, when he said to his people, worship Allah, your Lord and my Lord. اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم, my Lord and your Lord. For the one who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will deprive him of paradise, so he will never see paradise. And his abode will be hellfire, in which he will dwell forever, and he will have no supporters. He had many followers, but he had 12 of them, were called the disciples. Those disciples are the special students of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, like the top ones. And there were 12 of them. The 12 disciples of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. He ordered them, after he taught them, to go to different regions and to spread Islam, which is the religion of the angels and all the prophets. Islam is the religion of all prophets and the religion of the angels. The religion is one, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't send prophets with different messages and contradicting messages. So the message that came from God across all the prophets was one: to worship Allah alone and not to associate partners with Him. So the message was one message. All the prophets came with one religion, that is Al-Islam. All the prophets, and we mentioned that before, just to re-emphasize it, all the prophets came with Islam. It's the religion of the prophets, the angels, and Allah supported him with miracles, as is the case with the rest of the prophets. So the miracle will be proof that this person is truly sent by Allah Azza wa Jalla. So people will have no excuse not to follow this prophet and believe in him. So on the day of judgment, they will have no excuse whatsoever. The proof will be established against them on the day of judgment that Allah sent prophets to you, gave you the message, and even to confirm that they are truly sent by God, God supported them with miracles, extraordinary things, and despite all that, you did not believe. So they will have nothing to defend themselves with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability by the will and the power of Allah to cure the sick people, those with chronic diseases. Chronic diseases, meaning hopeless cases, he was able to cure them. Those who were born blind, and that is at that time classified as hopeless case. And usually the one who is born blind, it's not expected for him to be cured. He was able to cure such people. The one who is inflicted with vitiligo disease, the ugly white spots on one's body, he was able to cure them. So he used to cast his hand on them, on these sick people, and they will be cured. He would cast his hand over the one who is blind, and he will be cured. And for that reason, he was called Al-Masih. Al-Masih, Messiah. Masih, from wiping and rubbing. And that's why in English they call him Christ. And from the ancient Greek language they call it Christos. And that's in reference as well to rubbing. Rubbing, because he used to pass his hand on the one who is sick and he will be cured by Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's one reason. Another reason, he was called Al-Masih from As-Siyaha in Arabic, because he used to travel a lot from one region to another propagating the religion of Islam. So he was called Al-Masih for this and for that. Prophet Isa alayhi salam called the children of Israel to follow the religion of Allah. First, Isa alayhi salam studied the Torah revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Between the Torah and the Injil, nearly 1,000 years. So he learned the Torah first, that was revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Then Allah revealed to him a book which is Al-Injil, the Evangel. In Al-Injil, it is mentioned that one must worship Allah alone, not to associate partners with Him, and many rules that are similar to our rules now that were revealed to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, such as the prohibition of consuming the usurious gain, al-riba, the prohibition of consuming anything that is harmful to one's body, eating pork as well. The prophets and their followers in the past fasted what we fast, the same way. But what is specific for this nation is fasting the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified this nation with fasting the month of Ramadan. And subhanAllah, what is special about the month of Ramadan, as you know, that the heavenly books were sent down during the month of Ramadan. It was mentioned in the hadith, in one of the narrations, there are some slight difference in some of the narrations, that the Torah was revealed on the sixth night of Ramadan, and that Az-Zabur was revealed on the 12th night of Ramadan, and the Injil was revealed on the 18th night of Ramadan, and Al-Quran on the 24th night of Ramadan. Now, there is something that you need to know about Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Prophet Isa alayhi salam dedicated his life to propagating the religion of Islam. From the age of 30, since he received the revelation and he became a prophet, he dedicated all his time to propagate the religion of Islam. His followers, especially the special ones, helped him to spread Islam in different regions. So because he dedicated his time and he didn't stay on earth for a long time after he received the revelation, after a few years, just a couple of years from receiving the revelation, when the non-believers plotted to kill him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him to the sky. So despite the fact that he showed them many, many miracles at his time, as we mentioned, the non-believers still did not accept the call of Prophet Isa alayhi salam out of stubbornness, because all these miracles were proof that Isa alayhi salam was a messenger of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported Prophet Isa alayhi salam with Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And that's the meaning of Ruh al-Qudus. Ruh al-Qudus, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam. And Allah supported him with miracles, that he was able with these miracles to cure the sick people. He also was given a miracle of forming a bat from clay, forming a bat, sculpturing a bat from clay, and by the power of Allah, it will turn into a live bird. It will fly to a distance, then it falls down dead again. But that is a miracle, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ, meaning you sculpture from clay a shape of a bird, and that is in reference to the bat. وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ بِإِذْنِي فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهَا فَتَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِي. بِإِذْنِي, by the will of Allah, to show that the creator is Allah. But this miracle happened on the hands of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. But the creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also one of his greatest miracles is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported him with the miracle of reviving the dead. Reviving the dead. So even after they were buried Isa alayhi salam supplicated Allah for some and they were brought back to life. It was mentioned that the first one that was revived by Prophet Isa alayhi salam was a daughter of a lady. He found a lady, a mother, sitting by a grave and crying. So he asked her, "Why are you crying?" And she said to him, "I'm crying because I lost my daughter. And that was my only child. And I gave an oath that I will stay here by her grave until I taste death and follow her." So she was struck with grief and absolutely saddened. That was tough on her. Then Isa alayhi salam said to her, "See if I make you see her, would you go back to your home?" She said, "Yes, I will." Then he prayed two rak'ahs. He prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stood before her grave. He called her by her name. What happened? The grave started shaking. Then he called her again, the second time. The grave started cracking. Then he called her the third time and she came out of the grave and she was flicking the dust from her body. So her mother can see her. And Isa alayhi salam asked her, "Why you took long to come out of the grave?" And she said to him, "When you called me the first time, Allah ordered the angel to restructure my body, the skeleton and the like. When you called again, Allah ordered the soul to be brought back to my body. And when you called the third time, I came out of my grave and the hair of my head, my eyebrows and my eyelashes turned white, thinking that it is the day of judgment, the day of resurrection." Then she came to her mom and said to her, "Why did you make me taste death twice and suffer the pangs of death twice? Oh my mom, be patient and seek rewards from Allah Azza wa Jal for this calamity. I have no need for this world. I don't want it. I want to go back." Then she asked Prophet Isa alayhi salam to supplicate Allah that her death would be easy, so she won't taste the pangs of death again. So he supplicated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she went back to her grave. So that was the first thing. Also it was mentioned that people were carrying a king for the children of Israel in the coffin, taking him to the graveyard to bury him. And he supplicated Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that king was able to get out of his coffin. And all people were witnessing such a magnificent scene. And also he had a close friend called Azar. And he was a very close friend to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And then he became sick. His sister sent to Prophet Isa alayhi salam that Azar is sick, if you want to see him, he's dying. So Isa alayhi salam was at a distance of 3 days from his friend Azar. So by the time he reached him, he was dead. But he supplicated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at his grave and Azar came out of his grave alive again. And he lived for a period of time, and it was mentioned as well that he had children. It was also mentioned that once he was with his disciples, those 12 ones, the special students of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and he was telling them about Prophet Noah and the ark of Prophet Noah. And what happened at the time of the flood when it covered the whole earth. So he was telling them about all these things. Then they said to him, would you revive one of those dead who were at that time, at the time of Noah, so they can tell us what happened? So Isa alayhi salam took them to a grave and he said, this is the grave of Sam, the son of Noah. Sam ibn Nuh, Sam the son of Noah. He supplicated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sam was revived. And the first thing he said, is it the time for the day for judgment? Is it the time for resurrection? Then Isa alayhi salam said, no, rather I supplicated Allah to revive you because we were talking about the ark and what happened. So they wanted to hear from you. And Sam started telling them about the flood and what happened with the ark of Noah alayhi salam. So all these miracles that Isa alayhi salam was supported with to show his truthfulness. And the scholars said that the miracles of every prophet would be relevant to the era of that prophet. What does it mean to be relevant? For instance, at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, what was spread at that time is sorcery. Many people were famous in doing sorcery. So the type of miracle Prophet Musa alayhi salam was supported with is something to defeat sorcery and to be witnessed by people. So when he threw his staff, after they threw the robes and staffs, what happened? When they threw their staffs and robes, they affected the eyes of people. So they demonstrated a kind of sorcery that affected their eyes, and they thought that these are snakes slithering on the ground. When Prophet Musa alayhi salam threw his staff, it turned into a huge, real serpent, snake, and it started eating everything they had thrown to the ground. When the sorcerers saw this, that's when they prostrated to Allah and they said, we believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. Why they embraced Islam? Because they knew this is not a kind of sorcery. At the time of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, what was prevalent at that time is medication. So many people were experts in medication, healing people by giving them prescriptions. So they were famous with these things, but none of them was able to cure the one who is born blind or inflicted with vitiligo and the like, or even revive the dead. Isa alayhi salam was given this miracle that is relevant to his time. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given a miracle that is relevant to his time. What was known at his time? Eloquence in Arabic language, literature, poetry, and the like. People used to like to speak Arabic very fluent and eloquent. They were very eloquent in Arabic language, or the level of articulation in the Arabic language was so high that you see a little child at that time, bring a child from that time, will beat now professors at university in the Arabic language. So they were very eloquent. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was given Al-Quran. And the articulation of the Quran, the eloquence of the Quran, defeated any kind of eloquence at that time. So even those who were very eloquent, even the poets, even Al-Kuhan who used to make up rhyming words, and they were famous in this. And it comes so easily on their tongues. So a person would be sitting like a poet and he starts saying poetry, He would say hundreds of verses of poetry while he's sitting. It comes like this. It was so easy and very articulated poetry. But none of them was able to come up with something like the Qur'an, or even 10 surahs, or even one surah of the Qur'an. So that miracle of Al-Qur'an is relevant to the time of the Prophet. And even more than this, the miracle of the Qur'an of the Prophet is a continuous miracle until the day of judgment. Meaning now, the challenge is still active. Even after 1400 years, no one is able to come up with something like the Qur'an. If the eloquent ones couldn't come up with something like Al-Qur'an, how about people these days? Even those who are called Arabs, unfortunately these days, they can barely speak Arabic. But I'm talking about the eloquence in the Arabic language at that time was so high, but they were unable to come up with something like the Qur'an. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported the prophets with miracles to suit their time, relevant to their time. But despite all these miracles, many out of stubbornness did not believe in Prophet Isa alayhi salam. They plotted to kill him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him and informed him about their plotting. And he did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to do. He gathered his disciples, the 12 of them. This hadith is narrated by Ibn Abi Hatim and An-Nasa'i from the root of Ibn Abbas, may Allah raise their ranks, that Isa alayhi salam was with his 12 disciples. Then he said to them, some of you will blaspheme. Some of you will blaspheme after me. After he had believed. Then he said, who agrees to be killed in my place and to be crucified in my place? But I'll guarantee that he will be my companion in paradise. His youngest follower stood up and said, me. Prophet Isa said to him, sit down. Then he repeated the offer for the second time. His youngest follower said, me. And he said, sit down. Then he repeated for the third time. His youngest follower said, me. Then Prophet Isa alayhi salam said, it's you. By the power of Allah, the shape of Prophet Isa alayhi salam was given to this youngest follower. Isa alayhi salam was raised from an opening in the ceiling, alive and awake, and the disciples were witnessing this great scene. So he was raised from this opening in the ceiling. That's in the old houses. They would have an opening in the ceiling. They use it to go to the roof. So he went from that opening, alive and awake, to the second sky, where he is now, alive, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. His youngest follower became exactly like him in shape. When the non-believers who plotted to kill him knew about his place and they raided that place, they didn't find Prophet Isa alayhi salam, but they found that youngest follower who looked like him exactly. They took him. They killed him and crucified him. So the one who was killed and crucified was his youngest follower. When Isa alayhi salam was raised, his followers dedicated their lives to propagate the religion of Islam, east and west, wherever they can reach. Now, to the extent that they innovated in the religion, something that is called Rahbaniyya. Rahbaniyya is abstinence from the worldly pleasures. To the extent that they abstained from getting married. Why? out of their love to serve this glorious religion. They didn't want to be busy with a wife and children and working to get money to support the wife and children, because once a person has a wife and children, Islamically he needs to support them. So out of their dedication to propagate this religion, they said, we don't want to get married. We want to abstain from all the worldly pleasures to the extent that we don't want to get married even. So they secluded themselves to worshipping Allah. They built what is called hermitage on top of mountains so they can live a secluded life from people and dedicate their time to worshipping Allah. They would eat from anything that would grow on the ground, plants. They would eat them raw and just dedicate their time to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this abstinence was not mentioned in the Injil that was revealed to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, nor did Prophet Isa mention to them that you have to do what is called rahbaniya, abstinence. Rather, they innovated it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا فَآتَيْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ. So Allah mentioned in this ayah that the followers of Isa alayhi salam, Allah made compassion and mercy in their hearts. Out of their humbleness and fear of Allah and willingness to dedicate their life to worshipping Allah, they innovated the abstinence from the worldly pleasures to the extent that they didn't get married. Because they saw Isa alayhi salam, he lived, and after he received the revelation on earth for a few years, he did not think of getting married until he was raised to the sky. So they thought, we're going to follow his steps. We don't want to get married. But he didn't tell them to do that, and it's not an obligation upon them. But out of their love and commitment to serve this glorious religion, they did that. And this is what Allah said. وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا. They innovated it. And this is proof about good innovations as well. ابْتَدَعُوهَا. Allah called it bid'ah, innovation. They innovated it. And Allah mentioned that those who practiced it properly were rewarded by Allah Azza wa Jal. They were rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of them, one of the followers of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, that the Prophet told us about his story, is Juraij. Juraij al-Rahib. Juraij, the hermit, meaning the one who secluded himself, lived in a hermitage, and dedicated his life to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Juraij was one of the followers who dedicated his life to worshipping Allah. He built his own hermitage from clay and he lived in it, and he was satisfied with this humble life. And he used to love praying. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who enjoy praying. Once you reach that stage and you become feeling you are so attached to praying, you pray and pray and pray, you feel you want to do more. He was one of them. So he was praying and fasting and praising Allah. All his time is occupied to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. His mother went to visit him. She was outside. And he was busy praying. She called him, "Oh Juraij, come out. I want to talk to you." and he was praying. As he was praying, now he started having these thoughts. He heard his mother, so he wanted to go out to see her. At the same time, he was enjoying his prayer. So he kept on praying. When she found that he's taken long to come out, she thought he is ignoring her. So she left and she was upset. And subhanAllah, as mentioned, that she said something, she made a kind of supplication that her son will not die until he is tempted and seduced by a lady. Then it happened along the time, people started believing in Juraij as a righteous Muslim, righteous, wali. You know, wali, they call him, some in English might say saint, they call him wali, righteous. We prefer to use that term. And people started believing he is a righteous, and he did reach righteousness out of his dedication to worshipping Allah. When people started talking about his righteousness, that this person is so dedicated to worshipping Allah, no lady can tempt him or seduce him or entice him in any way, because at that time also fornication and adultery was widespread. So one prostitute said, I can seduce him and you will see. She went up to him, to his hermitage where he was praying, and she stood at a distance from the door of his hermitage trying to seduce him and tempt him. If he didn't go out to his mother, he would go out for this lady. So he ignored her and he was praying. She tried and tried and tried in vain. She found no way to seduce him. When she lost any kind of hope that he would listen to her, she left. As she was walking down, because they used to build this hermitage at the top of the mountain, as she was walking down, she met a shepherd grazing his sheep. It didn't take much effort from her to convince him. He was seduced, slipped easily. So he fornicated with her, she got pregnant. She waited until she gave birth, and she brought this child, wrapped, and she came to people and she said, see, this is the son of Juraij. People, subhanAllah, even from that time, they believe bad news more than good news. You know this. So once they hear about something bad, they spread it. They believe it. But if they hear something good about someone, well, so what? But something bad, even before they are sure that this is what happened, it becomes on all social media these days. So people believed her. And some of them, out of anger, they said, what? We trusted him, we believe he's a righteous, and he does such and such, he will see what's going to happen to him. They went up, they took him out, they dragged him on the floor, they knocked down his hermitage, meaning you are not a righteous hermit. So they knocked it down, they dragged him, they wanted to kill him. They kept on dragging him, and he wasn't saying one word. Then they brought him to this lady. And he said to them, can you allow me to pray two rak'ahs? They said, yes. So he performed wudu, prayed two rak'ahs. After he finished, he said, where is that baby you're talking about that he is my son? They brought him the baby, just born. So he called him, he put his finger on him, and he said, O child, who is your father? By the power of Allah, this baby talked and he said, my father is the shepherd. So because this baby talked, as Prophet Isa alayhi salam talked when he was a little baby, So they knew that this person is so righteous, even this is karama for him. They started apologizing and they said to him, "We are ready to build your hermitage from gold." Then he said to them, "No, bring it back as it was from clay." So they rebuilt it for him. That's what the Prophet ﷺ told us about this person who was righteous, following Isa ﷺ on the true path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with the knowledge we are acquiring and make our end as righteous Muslims. Ameen. And Allah knows best.